In recent months, members of the Army Individual Ready Reserves have been called back to active duty to fill shortages caused by the demands of the ongoing fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. These former soldiers are older now, and they've gone on to new lives, and the Army is finding out that many didn't realize they were even on reserve lists anymore. NPR's Kathy Lohr reports.
Rick Howell has been out of the Army since 1993. The 47-year-old moved back to Cottondale, Alabama, just outside of Tuscaloosa, to be near his parents. Then last July, his wife Tina was 7 months pregnant with their first child when she called her husband, wondering why an official-looking letter from the Army had arrived in the mail.
She started reading it out to me, and it said, in response to a presidential directive, you are recalled to active duty. And when she read that out loud, she just started crying. You know, and I couldn't stop her from crying on the phone. I said, sweetheart, just set everything down, stay right where you're at. I'll be there in about 2 minutes. And she was just standing out at the mailbox, just in tears, holding this letter in her hand. And I just, you know, I held her and I said, everything will be okay. You know, it's got to be a mistake.
Howell says he called the Army and it was no mistake. He's one of 3,800 who have been recalled to active duty as part of the Army's Individual Ready Reserves. They do not drill or train. They do not meet. Their names are on an administrative roster. They are activated in times of war or national emergency. Howell is an Army major who served 16 years, mostly as a helicopter maintenance test pilot. Officers are considered members of the reserves unless they resign their commissions.
I did my time in the military. I didn't know it was forever, indefinitely forever. I didn't know I had to resign my commission. There's a lot of officers out there that don't know that.
Howell is fighting the Army's decision to call him back. He has some legal help, but he says he can't afford a full-time lawyer.
What bothers me is the fact that they're ripping my family apart. Not only my family, but so many other young men and women, so many enlisted people, they're just ripping families apart for no reason.
But the Army says that the men and women who join the military make a promise that they must live up to. Army spokeswoman, Lieutenant Colonel Pamela Hart.
When officers and enlisted men alike, you know, join the ranks of the U.S. military, you know, they swear an obligation to defend the country. So it is an obligation that we hold truly and seriously and expect people to abide by that obligation.
Half of those recalled so far have asked for exemptions or delays. Most of those have been granted. Lieutenant Colonel Hart says the Army is extremely compassionate, looking at each case individually. But about 300 soldiers have not answered the Army's call at all. Many who do follow the orders to return end up at Fort Jackson.
Our perspective, each and every one of you has already faithfully, honorably served your country.
Lieutenant Colonel Doug Snyder is the task force commander at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. He welcomes 9 ready reservists back into the Army.
You've been recalled, other words, to come back and basically fill a very, very important role as far as either A, rounding out units so those units can conduct and, you know, complete their mission, and bottom line, you've answered that call.
But it's been difficult for many of these people who are learning how to be soldiers all over again. All had gone on with their lives, including specialist Jamita Black, who was studying for an MBA.
I'd rather be back in graduate school. I'd rather be carrying on with my life, you know. I'm here, though, because I made a commitment when I signed the document to become a member of the Army. I made that commitment, and that is why I'm here. I'm standing up to my commitment.
Enemy rifle squad, activity moving south along Riverbend. Break. Location, grid, November, Alpha, 7729-57. Break.
Every reservist gets training on how to transmit messages on SINGARs, the single-channel ground-air radio system. It's important because no one knows who might have to use the radios in an emergency. Specialist Chad Washburn says the people who showed up here answered the call, even though they may have some doubts about the war in Iraq.
I do want to serve my country. I'm not necessarily totally convinced of what we're doing over there is the right thing. I mean, I do understand terrorism, and we do need to take that out. I just don't know if we're going about it the right way. I'm not a politician. I'm conflicted on it. I mean, I really am. I mean, I just hate to see people over there dying.
The training that Washburn was most interested in was the class on improvised explosive devices, known as IEDs.
You'll see anything that can send a signal from A to B and make B go boom, they're using it.
IEDs are often targeted at roads, assembly areas, supplies, and convoys. Washburn is a supply specialist. He is listening carefully to every word.
A lot of times they hit, you know, the convoys and the support people that are actually taking out the water, food, ammunition, fuel, and everything, so, which is me. I'm a quartermaster, so I know I'll be doing that. They're hitting our least less likely defended people. So, you know, it's reality starting to set in, so.
After about 2 weeks of a sort of basic retraining, additional instruction in weapons and convoy operations, these soldiers are sent on for more training in their military specialties before they are deployed. Back in Alabama, Rick Howell drives out to his half-built house overlooking the Hurricane Creek. He decided to start building it, even though the Army expects him to show up in March. Howell's son Clayton is 5 months old now.
I mean, I can really envision the day that me and my wife and our young son are out here, and you know, he's running around behind Daddy through the woods, and you know, doing it. So I mean, it really puts everything in perspective, calms me, as it were.
Howell's unfinished home is just one reason he's seeking a delay or an exemption from his call up. He's also citing his new baby, his health, and his parents' age. His hope is that growing public concern over the loss of American lives in Iraq will help his case. Kathy Lohr, NPR News.